Ross, are we rolling?
We are indeed.
Excellent. Welcome to the latest edition of the Kings of Anglia podcast, Ipswich Town podcast, recorded live in the bunker in IO Radio in Norwich Road in Ipswich, no longer a secret location. It's been 2 weeks since we've done one of these here, but my co-host this week, Stuart, the Dr. Stephen Watson, did one last week, a very special one, post-fixtures day. He actually only did that on Friday, so he's ready to go again and talk about more football. Dr. Steve, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Was Stephen ever a thing? More of a Steve,
more of
wasn't
a Steve,
it?
Yeah, but Stephen, Dr. Stephen Watson sounds...
Does.
Sounds kind of more important, doesn't
Lofty
it?
Lofty and important.
Absolutely. We'll catch up in a minute. And as ever, of course, to my right hand, just setting his mic and checking his levels, producer Ross. How are you, my friend?
Oh, very well, thank you.
Hold up, hold the phone. We didn't have any intros.
We didn't.
Go back.
Okay.
Pretend you...
Rewind.
Yeah, rewind. Pretend that didn't happen. Ross, what are you doing? You're sleeping in the job.
I was waiting for you to stop talking, but you didn't.
I never stopped talking.
That's a problem.
So, of course, we should introduce the man who needs no introduction for the second time today.
Yeah.
Play that. Here we go. That's another 100 quid in Dre's back pocket. Coming out of your wages, that. You get paid well enough.
We'll talk about that later.
Yes, Dr. Watson in the house, and the man with the best intro in all of radio. He also claims to be the best producer on earth.
Not after that one.
Forgets his intros. Producer Ross. That's so good.
Should play this throughout the whole show.
We should, yeah. Again, another 100 quid chucked to Mr. Stevie Wonder. I'd pay him more, if anything. Man, okay. That's such a good intro. Got to be one of the best of all times. Ross, how are you?
I'm very well.
Good.
Good weather.
Nice to see you again.
You too.
How's things?
Yeah. Enjoyed the weather the last 2 days, so which is good.
It's been nice.
It's been
too hot though, isn't it now, if anything?
Well, it's about time we had some summer. You and I both picked the worst possible weeks for our English.
Yeah, classic.
Holidays.
I had it where basically it was really hot and you were in shorts and then the next second it was absolutely pissing it down and you needed to stick your waterproofs on because you're out in the middle of nowhere. Bit of a nightmare that.
I had that without the shorts part. That was my holiday.
How was your holiday, Stu?
Wet.
We haven't actually seen each other for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it rained a lot.
Yeah.
Which can be quite miserable.
Where were you at?
It's in the Lake District.
That's right.
And then we had a little few days over in the northeast as well. Just scouting Sunderland, basically.
Of course you were.
Yeah.
Of course you were. Which, of course, brings us nicely on to what happened last week when I wasn't here. My birthday on Thursday, fixtures day. I don't know if I mentioned that. Thanks for your message, by the way, Ross. Hotchie sent me one as well. Nothing from Stu. That's all right. That's where it's going to be, is it? As long as I know.
It was a few days after, but yeah.
Yeah.
Still wished it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a day after, yeah, so yeah. Still waiting for Stu. Anyway, fixtures day, my friend. Was your first day back.
Principal.
Was your first day back. You went straight into fixtures day, which is obviously one of the big days of the summer. We now know who Town are going to play and when and in what order. And surprisingly, they're going to play all the teams twice again this season.
Yeah.
But the start, let's just talk about that. Obviously, I should just mention, podcast-wise, Stuart just talked about this on Friday because he did a special fixtures day / transfer stuff. 1 hour-long podcast with Hutchie, who's not with us today, I should point out. He's now on holiday, and they tag-team holidays now until Germany. But I think just for the benefit of people listening on IO Radio, we should just go over the stuff very briefly again. It's going to be mostly mailbag today, your questions. But Stu, let's just talk very briefly about fixtures. So Burton away to start off with, and then you couldn't get much bigger than Sunderland at home for your first home game in League One, could you? What did you make of that? As a start?
It could have been kinder,
yeah.
I think. I mean, I've seen quite a few people saying, come on, get a grip, talking about tough starts. This is Ipswich Town in League One. They will have the second biggest budget behind Sunderland in that league. We shouldn't start be sort of quaking in our boots about whatever the start is. They need to lose this losing habit.
Yeah.
And so it might have been better for them to have got a slightly kinder start just to kind of shake that off and build up a bit of momentum. But, you know, if they get that right and they get off to a flyer, then that could really sort of be a launch pad for the rest of the season. But on the flip side of it, I think the run-in looks reasonable. And if they're in a position where they're within striking distance of playoffs and or automatic, then that's a reasonable finish.
Yeah, that was my concern, sort of watching from afar. Obviously, I followed everything on Thursday that you did. I thought, as you say, with a club that's kind of got a bit of a losing culture at the moment, the start maybe isn't ideal in that respect, because obviously Burton have been in the Championship recently. Sunderland are obviously the favourites to win the title, with Ipswich second, I believe, at the moment. So for that as a first home game, kind of worry there's going to be quite a lot of pressure on that straight away. But I guess the other way that Lambo will be looking at it, master man motivator and all that sort of stuff, will be looking, this is our chance to really kind of stamp our authority on the league and come out the blocks firing. So fingers crossed on that. The other thing we should just mention, of course, is the transfer news, the sexy stuff. You're correct, that's what I like to call it, Stewie. Ellis Harrison's gone. Two departures, or one kind of departure and one on the way in Bart, who is going to move to Millwall, but that's yet to be
confirmed. I'm not sure why that wasn't announced on Friday. He was there having his medical on Thursday. Past that, as far as I'm aware, fees agreed. Mm-hmm. May just be some last little I's to dot and T's to cross. People tend to go home for the weekend once it gets to a certain time on Friday, whether it be club sex or media people.
Club what?
Club secretaries, so sometimes they just go, right, we'll do this Monday now because I want to go home for the weekend. So
that's going to happen.
That will happen, yeah.
What are we saying, today, you reckon, Monday, as we sit here?
I would have thought today, but we've come straight here. So it may well be announced during this hour. But
That'd be good. We could bring some breaking news. Obviously, we'd struggle to get that online, which would be a problem. So just very briefly, Stu and Hutchie already talked about this on the podcast last Friday. So if you want to hear their thoughts on the whole thing in depth, go back and listen to that on our iTunes, anywhere else you get your podcast from, if you listen to this on IO Radio. Just very briefly, I'll give you my take on this, Stu. Mm. You can shoot it to bits with your far more knowledgeable and informed opinion. Ellis Harrison, I know you'd said that you quite liked what you saw of him. I can kind of understand why he's gone, but my only concern is selling him to a promotional rival. There's this big thing in American sports, which I know you're a big fan of.
Massive.
Where teams will agree to sell trade players, as they call it over there, but they won't trade them to teams that are directly in their division or in their league, as we'd call it in football. So any concern there that selling Harrison to Pompey kind of, A, gives him motivation, because you kind of get the feeling, well, they don't think that much of me if they're going to sell me to someone they're going to be playing next season. And B, as you say, he showed in glimpses last season that he may have some talent, the lad.
Yeah, I do share those concerns that this could be one that comes back to bite them on the backside. The fact that it is Portsmouth is the greater concern. The bookies have them up there with Ipswich and Sunderland as promotion favourites.
Mm.
I mean, there could be a horrible situation. What if they're both vying for the playoffs or facing each other in the playoffs or something like that? They've got back around about 2/3 of the 750 they paid for him last summer. He only started 9 games. So Andy and I spent a lot of the second half of last season saying that we quite liked what little we saw of Ellis Harrison. But the more I've thought about it, the more I've thought, is this one of these scenarios where a player becomes better when they're not in the team? When the team as a whole is doing poorly, we can all be guilty of sort of elevating those that aren't fit and available to a higher status. There were lots of things that we liked about him, but he wasn't able to show it. And it will come down to who he's replaced by. And ultimately, Lambert wants to put his own stamp on things. Let's just hold fire and see who he brings in as a replacement.
Okay, and as Stewie pointed out there, alluded to, there is, as I say, an excellent hour-long podcast the boys did on Friday. Very good, interesting and informative. And there's a little game at the end Dr. Watson brought in. Definitely worth going back and listening to that if you haven't. I did like your point on the Harrison thing as well, when you said that Lambo can only really go on what he's seen, and he's not seen a lot of Harrison. So we'll see. Time will tell on that one. Mm. Before we move on to the mailbag stuff, as I say, it's going to be mostly mailbag stuff today because it's just me, Stewie and Ross, no Hutchie. And as I say, the boys had quite a long podcast, so we don't go over the same ground too much. How about incoming, Stu? There's two outgoings. Any kind of signs of incomings? Obviously, the team is back today, back in training, jogging around pitches and stuff.
Yeah, today's the sort of first day back, so they'll do the bleep tests.
Yeah.
And they'll get tested for their body fat percentage yeah, all that sort of stuff today. And then tomorrow they'll be out on the grass, as we are obliged to say.
Do we get to go and see him tomorrow? Because normally we get to go and see him jog half-heartedly around a pitch. And
to be confirmed.
TBC.
Yeah.
Top secret.
Do that every year, don't we? We come back and we get to take pictures of them for the first 5 minutes and maybe get a quick chat with Paul. But
they disappear over to the furthest part of the field, don't they? So you furthest away from you.
Yeah.
And kind of do half-hearted calisthenic kind of stuff. It would be interesting, wouldn't it, to be fly on the wall today in the bleep test and get the players getting weighed and body fat percentages and all that. I know, obviously, it's very different to back in the day when players used to spend the whole summer drinking and come back like 4 stone overweight. They're obviously all professional athletes now, and their body fat will be sickeningly low, all under 10%, I reckon, boys. Very, very low athletes. But it would be interesting. I wonder who scores best on the bleep test. Remember the bleep test?
Have you ever done the bleep test? Yeah, it's not since school.
It sucks, man.
Yeah.
If you get to bet, who would you say, bleep test-wise, who's the fittest Ipswich Town player?
The fittest Ipswich Town player? I can't remember who Mick McCarthy said used to win it every year.
Luke Hyam, wasn't it?
Was it Hyam? Yeah, he'd probably be a good shout for it. The fittest Ipswich
Who in the current, obviously, they're all fit. That's you know, there are various levels of
I would have thought
fitness.
Someone like Knudsen prior to his departure, someone like him that can get, you know, a fullback that could get up and down and was someone like him.
I'd fancy someone like John Nolan.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah. Someone built like a whippet who runs all day.
Midfielders cover the most ground, don't
they? Exactly, that's what I'm thinking, midfielders. I wonder how Lord Norwood would get on in a bleep test. Interesting.
Well, having seen the bits of him I have, he looks like someone, I mean, in that playoff final, in the playoff games, he's still going and going right at the end, sprinting to charge down defenders, you know, not doing the half-hearted job. Yeah. He looks like he's got. He may not look like the honed athlete, but he's. He looks like he can run.
I tell you what, he's a good follow on social media as well, isn't he? You follow him on Instagram?
Yes. Looks.
Town have bought themselves a character. He's going to be a fan favourite. And one of the things I liked, Stu, which I thought I've got to talk to you about this, is one of the first things he did when he arrived was Instagram storied having a hair transplant.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah. Hairline pending, I think.
Yeah, which obviously is something that happens these days. Wayne Rooney, one of the first to do it. Now it's a fairly regular thing. And I thought I must mention this to Stu, obviously yourself, Stu, follically challenged. No prejudice here, my friend. We're all friends, and I think it makes you look sexy, if I'm honest. But I have a friend who's actually having the same thing done.
Right.
He's flying to Turkey to have it done, and he talked me through the process. It sounds potentially quite painful, because what they do is you have a donator strip, it's called, on the back of your head, where they take the little hair follicles out.
Right.
And they split them all into little, tiny little separate follicles. So apparently one follicle can grow 3 hairs.
Right.
So they separate these all out, and then they literally plant them in your head. So you have to be in a chair or whatever for hours, and they literally inject each little follicle into your head. So you're left with loads of little pinpricks all over your head, which is what you saw Norwood with.
Yeah.
That's the start of it. And then basically you sit back and wait for it to grow.
Okay.
So I thought I must ask you.
I think that the moment for me to do that has passed.
Why?
I think you've got to catch that early. If you're just starting to get, if it's just starting to creep back and get receding, you could intervene now. I'm too far gone.
No, you're not.
Now.
You're
I'm
not,
too
mate.
Far
you're
gone. I am. There's not enough. Imagine.
I'm telling you,
the
right?
The donator strip would be.
That's key.
Would be huge.
That's key. If you've got a good donator strip, your squid's in, my friend.
Yeah.
And you still have a good donator strip, don't mind me saying.
But then does that leave the bit at the back bald?
Oh, yeah, you just go bald there. Yeah. No, of course not. These are professionals. But anyway, what I'm saying is, A, would you consider having that done? Just out of interest?
No.
You wouldn't? It costs a lot of money, my friend.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think
we can afford it. We're talking $4,000 to $10,000, I believe.
Yeah.
Having sanded this out with my friend who's having it done. And B, if you did want it done, fly over to Turkey, because you can get it done cheaper,
yeah.
I'm told. Would you ever consider cosmetic surgery, Roscoe?
No.
Not for nothing?
I've got plenty of hair everywhere, so...
No, it's not just hair, is it?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to have breast implants. Although some blokes do, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to bother going to the gym. Lazy. So I think I would. As I say, I was having this chat with the geezer about the hair.
If I just rocked up to work one day and just suddenly had a full head of hair,
but it wouldn't though, would it? Because it would just grow. It doesn't. It's not like just suddenly having a wig. You just turn up with like a.
Yeah, but I mean, you knew when Rooney got it done.
Yeah, but yeah, what's wrong with that though?
I'm just going now. With yeah, what I've got.
Look. Yeah,
you deal with the card you dealt.
Yeah, I would definitely have cosmetic surgery. I probably will.
Teeth, get everything done while you're over there.
Absolutely. Yeah, get the whole shebang. Bit of lipo as well, all that sort of stuff. Uh-huh. I need lipo after the holiday, boys, got to be honest. Too many pubs visited. Not enough walking. So, moving on from hair transplants, I bet everyone's very pleased that I'm back, that we can talk about this stuff as opposed to football. Is there anything else to mention, Stewie, before we start mailbag? And what we'll do is, because it's going to be an epic mailbag session, we'll do a few, then we'll do a Mark's Big Question, then we'll jump back onto the mailbag. Is there anything else from my week away that either of you have got to tell me about? Or anything to do with football before we start mailbag?
No other business.
Oh, good. Right then, mailbag, here we go. We've had lots. I put out a very early call this morning. So, scroll back. The very first one was our friend Stefan Vasek.
Friend of the show.
I'm not sure about your number, Stefan. Obviously, Hutchie's away this week, so I don't know. I think you're five.
Number five.
Yes. He says, hope you enjoyed your haul. Thanks, Stefan. Nice to know you care. Question for tomorrow. He says, he's obviously in South America at the moment. Stefan's our travelling friend. His question is, when is the live show? Interesting question, Stefan. Talks are very much ongoing on that. In fact, we've got a meeting a week on Thursday about the very first Kings of Anglia live show. Do let us know where and when you think it should be. We feel it's got to be around the game. Certainly, you know, a home game. It's a shame that I'm not going to be out in Germany, because that would be a perfect location to do one. There's no reason why you'll be podcasting out there. You could get some fans involved. But in terms of a special live podcast event with set pieces and all sorts, that is, I think, going to happen. But we're not entirely sure when. So let us know, A, if you'd come, because that would be terribly embarrassing, wouldn't it? As we've said before, if we put on a show and no one came, that would be sad. So let us know about that. Talks ongoing.
I need to interject here, because you've just sparked my memory that you probably haven't picked up your emails yet, given its first day back. But we now have to insert a message from our overlords, our Archon overlords.
What sort of message?
About podcasts.
Oh, I heard this. Yeah. I was going to ask you what the
basically,
that was all about.
Did you hear it on the last one?
I did.
I don't have the set piece here in front of me, but it's essentially, please sponsor us. We need some sponsors. Email matt.withers@archant.co.uk.
There you go. Done in a very sexy manner as well. So how could you not want to sponsor us after that little promo? So yeah, is that the line? Is that the official line from the Archant?
That's the official line. We do all sorts now, apparently. Murder mystery.
Do we?
New European, all sorts.
Oh, that sounds good.
Brexit chat.
Yeah. That revs my engine.
Yeah. That's that done.
Good. Tick that box. Excellent. Good work, Stewie. Good work.
Thank you.
Next question from someone called Forky Isn't Trash. I assume a reference to the new Toy Story film. You'll be taking I to see Toy Story.
I definitely will, yeah.
I've heard it's very emotional. The whole thing, the Toy Story, parents, kids, all that sort of stuff. I won't get it because I haven't got kids, but there's a very emotional thing. Forky wants to know, thoughts on bare knuckle boxing? There was a big bare-knuckle boxing fight over the weekend. Malinagi against Lobov. This is Paulie Malinagi, former boxing world champion, against Artem Lobov, best known for being best mates with Conor McGregor. My thoughts on it. I wasn't surprised that Lobov won, because Malinagi had no power and has got very brittle hands. Bare-knuckle boxing-wise, I'm not the biggest fan, I've got to say. I love boxing history, and obviously everything started as bare-knuckle. And I love the fact that, you know, bare-knuckle boxing inspired some of our language. I think I've told you this before. The term up to scratch and towing the line, they both come from bare-knuckle boxing.
Okay.
Because basically when geezers used to fight back in the day, there used to be a line in the middle of the pit, basically a sand pit they used to fight. There used to be a line in the middle of it, and every time someone got knocked down, the fighter had to get back up and put their toe on the line to indicate they were ready to go again, hence towing the line, or, because the line was called scratch, up to scratch.
Okay.
Interesting.
Nice.
Fact of the day, I think.
Every day's a school day.
And Forky, moving on, just from the sublime to the ridiculous, says also, what's all your favourite biscuits? Can't beat a chocolate hobnob, surely.
Yeah.
I like a custard cream.
Bet you do. Roscoe?
Big question is, the Jaffa cake, is that a biscuit?
It's nice, a cake, yeah, isn't it? It's not a biscuit.
Yeah. Clues in the title, Ross.
Yeah. Absolutely. Jaffa cake.
You eat a lot of Jaffa cakes.
I want to get sponsored. That's what we got to do, get sponsored by Jaffa cakes. We should.
If you work for Jaffa cake, sir, and or McVitie's, isn't it? Yeah. I think, who produced Jaffa cakes.
And a McVitie's biscuit as well.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah.
There you go.
Caramel. So
there's two choices there.
Chocolate hobnob.
Yeah. You can't beat a chocolate hobnob. But anyway, pushing the McVitie's, you've had quite a few free pushes already there. So someone from McVitie's, get on to matt.withers at archon.co.uk. We'll sort you a deal, my friends. You can keep Ross and Jaffa cakes,
yes,
and just chuck us a few hundred grand a year. Fine. Good deal. Oh, I've opened Facebook. That's wrong. George Alavine, when will the Checker Trade Trophy fixtures be announced?
Middle of July.
Checker Trade. So last week, there was the Carabao.
Carabao.
Draw, which again, I followed with you boys. In a John Barnes in a Morrison's.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Luton away, isn't it?
Luton away, yep.
So chance for Town to pull off a cup upset there.
I know. That's quite sobering, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ipswich were going to places like Luton and Accrington.
Yeah.
As overwhelming favourites not so long ago, and then, you know, are now divisional peers or underdogs in the case of Luton. That puts it again into focus, doesn't it?
How far the mighty have fallen. Not very long, though. That's the line.
I'll take it, though. Nice, easy trip.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're still getting to grips with life in the Championship at that point. I think they've got Middlesbrough leading into that game. Hopefully they're focused on getting themselves together for that, and that will be, I think that's an okay fixture.
There you go. Stu guarantees win in Carabao Cup.
That's exactly what I did.
Harvey Davis.
Friend of the show.
Number four? Might even be two, I'm not sure. He says, who do you think will have the most interesting squad number change this year? When are squad numbers coming out?
I don't know when they do those. Late July, they
must do when they do the team photo.
So it'll be late July.
Yeah.
He says, Ken Lock, new number three.
This really is one for Hutch, as people have flagged up on Twitter. He is Mr. Squad Numbers. There's some prime real estate there now with players that have departed. Yeah. Mm. Number one, obviously. So it'd be interesting if that's Thomas Holy or another keeper. And I think Ipswich will sign another goalkeeper.
Mm. 6'9", Thomas Holy.
We have to give him his full title every time, like Frank Lampard's Derby County.
Exactly, not for long.
Number three, I could see Ken Lock getting that, definitely.
Oh, indeed, actually, just let me pause you there, because Joe Fares, the very next question, asks this. Who does squad number Fan Hutch have as 1-11 this season now? We have 1, 3, 5, 6, 10, now 3. So obviously Hutchie, as we know, is an avowed fan.
Ten will be Norwood.
10's Norwood. So one, TBC. Three, you'd think would be Ken Lock.
I think so, depending on what else they do.
Yeah, five.
Five and six is very interesting.
You think Wolfie, if he does start Wolford, and
that would be a big statement, wouldn't it, to suddenly give him the number five shirt? Or do you give Toto Nsiala the confidence boost? I get the feeling that his confidence was quite fragile last year. I think they involved him in the squad, the new kit pictures, for that very reason, to say, look, you're fresh start, you're going to be a key man for us next year. I wouldn't be completely surprised to see him given a bigger squad number. What were the other ones? Six?
I think we covered them. 1, 3, 5, 6, 10. Obviously, 10, you say, is going to be Norwood.
Whether they're going to have a bit of a jig around, like you say, give Nolan something different or someone else like that.
Mm. Andy G, I'd like to know who's out there on the loan market. Are there any Premier League players willing to drop down to League One? We haven't done this yet, have we? Or have we? Have I missed it? The annual...
No, we haven't
loan-y.
Done... That's one of the pieces we haven't done so far.
Coming soon.
We'll go to that well at some
point.
Coming
soon to a website near you.
Premier League loans is going to be interesting, because obviously the split in the transfer window this year is that Premier League and Championship have become aligned in terms of their window shutting in August, towards the start of August, and then League 1 and 2 is September 2nd. So I think, obviously, that loan type of market tends to happen later in the day. Premier League clubs tend to hold on to their younger players for pre-season, because they go off to the Far East or wherever for their money-making tours.
Cynical.
They've got Yeah, they've got some of their senior players have been given extended breaks, and so they need to keep hold of the kids, and then that all gets knocked back a little bit, although less so this year because there's not been a major tournament.
Matt Thomas.
Friend of the show.
I think Matt is number five reference. Alistair Rattray, I hope you're getting your reviewing pen out. Let us know about Stu's performance so far.
I'm happy with
feeling
it.
You're carrying quite a lot of the jingle and the show, to be fair. That's good. That's what you're paid for, and very well paid. I think the next couple of signings will outline Lambert's formation intent for the coming season. Do you guys think he'll stick with one up front, even though we've gone down a division? And have you any insight into any other players possibly being sold? So, next couple of signings, as we say, there's nothing hot off the press that we
nothing
can bring
imminent
you.
At the moment.
Yeah,
no.
I heard you talking about Connor Washington last Friday.
I'm still not convinced by that one. I know they've definitely had an inquiry about him early in the summer. So I've been getting that one from outside sources, a couple of different outside sources, that Ipswich have made inquiries in terms of how much he'd want in terms of wages.
Mm.
But when I've spoken to people with inside the club, good sources, I've had a range of I'd be surprised to definitely not happening. So whether that's people trying to throw us off the scent or whether that genuinely is the case, I don't know. But when we say they've made an inquiry, they'll have made inquiries about dozens and dozens of players. That's just sort of being prudent. But I think he ticks the boxes for Ipswich. So no guarantees on that one at the moment.
Also ticks the box for Ollie, who asks, are ITFC close to any more signings? So there you go, Ollie. Tom Lawrence moves away from football to ask quite a serious question. Who out of you three would last longest on one of those bucking bronco thingies?
Ooh.
Has anyone got prior experience of being on a bucking bronco? I have. They're surprisingly difficult to stay on, and it doesn't look easy. But I think if we had to bet, I'd put my money on Stu. Do you know why? Stu's got powerful thighs, big powerful thighs, which is used to squeeze said bucking bronco probably into submission.
Is it about strength or is it more about technique? Balance.
Yeah, you've got to have powerful legs to cling onto the side, but also there's a big element of technique and, as you say, balance. Because once you start going, you're gone, basically.
Well, there's an element of the live show already sorted, surely.
Excellent. That's a great idea.
Can we hire one of those?
That'd be amazing. Locally? We've got to do that. Tom Lawrence, not the Tom Lawrence, I assume, your idea could come to fruition and you've got to come and watch.
What do you think about Hutchie in his absence?
I don't know. I think Hutch should be all right because he's sort of low centre of gravity and stuff, being so close to the ground anyway. I think he'd be all right.
I think he'd fancy his chances.
I've got to be honest. If we had to rank us, I'd say you would win. Hutchie probably second. Ross probably third.
I'll be last.
I'm the only one who's actually been on one of these things, and I know how difficult it is.
Come straight off.
It's you think you go into this, you know, like I always do, like a swaggering tit. Like, I'll stay on this for half an hour, no problem. And I think I was off after about 2 seconds, looking like a right bell end. Anyway, that'd be my placings. But that would be amazing for a live show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we're going to do that before or after the back, sack and crack session, because that could affect my performance.
I think whoever does that, if we did it afterwards,
so
you've just been sweatily clinging to a bucking bronco and then you're having your crack waxed, we need to pay that person some extra danger money. Going into Watson's hairy crack, hairy sweaty crack after staying on a bucking bronco for an hour, setting a new world record. Amazing. I've missed you boys. Danish Dewdrop says,
what?
What?
Danish Dewdrop?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Okay.
Oh, hold on. It's Avatar. Yeah, Avatar's interesting. Anyway, with the additional cup games, have ITFC currently got enough depth in the squad to absorb it? That's the big thing this season, isn't there? There's going to be a load of cup games on top of the already busy schedule. So,
yeah, I mean, Ipswich have to win some cup games for that to be the case.
Yeah, true.
They're not very good at that. Yeah. So let's see on that score. I mean, August alone, if they win at Luton, big if, that would be 8 games in August, 7 guaranteed, potentially 8. So that gives you an idea of the sort of schedule now. It's going to be Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. 3 games in the Checker trade, which are kind of split out over month by month. I think they're September, October, November at the start of the month.
Mm.
And then then it gets busy after that. If you get through the group stage, that's when you start getting a load of extra games. I think Shrewsbury, when they won the checker trade, did they win it or did they get to the final? No, they got to the final. They lost, didn't they? Because
Rotherham won it.
Yeah, Hurst has got this sort of Wembley curse, isn't it? Anyway, they played 50 plus games. I think Sunderland played somewhere in the region of that last year, so it could get busy. Have Ipswich got a big enough squad? I think they need to add a few more to it. It was too big before. It was getting close to 50-odd professionals, 48, 49 professionals, which was far too big. They've got it down to 30-something, of which 25 probably would be considered first-team players. I think they need to now add a few more to that to kind of deal with the schedule.
Roscoe, you've just called up ITFC hashtag on Twitter just to check that we're not missing any breaking news. Is Bart still a Town player?
Technically, yes, but, you know.
We know he's on the way. But what I'm saying is it's not been officially announced.
No.
Excellent. Nice work with the dramatic pause there as well. I like it. Daniel Hart, again, goes back to squad numbers, but he says, for me, Nolan isn't an 11, and Hughes could probably do with swapping 44 as it's brought him zero luck. I quite like that suggestion, actually. Hughes changing number. Because he's not really done much as 44. Reminds me a bit of when Michael Jordan came back, boys, as I'm sure you yourself would bring up. Obviously, he famously wore 23, wore 45 when he came back and wasn't the same player. Mm. And he switched back to 23 and became his airness again. Zach, do we have a right to question Marcus Evans? I get he puts money in every year to keep us afloat, but what clubs nowadays make money? We can't even compete at League One level. It's embarrassing. Blimey, Zach, so you're already saying we can't compete at League One level. I mean, in terms of wage bill, Town are right at the top of League One, aren't they? Mm. So, has that got a valid point? I mean, it's something that gets brought up every now and then about Marcus.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because are there better owners out there? Of course there is. Is there a lot worse? Definitely. You only got to look at situations developing at Bolton and Bury, and, you know, Ipswich are financially stable. He has plugged £6 million there or thereabouts year after year. He's now going to be taking another £9 million hit on top of that with the TV money going. People going, oh, well, Bart's gone for far less than he should have done last summer. Well, if they'd have sold Bart last year at his peak value, if you sell your 3x player of the year, people would have been screaming about no ambition. You know, he has turned down big money from McGoldrick, £8 million from Leicester at the peak of his powers. Hindsight says that was the wrong decision. Daryl Murphy, I think they were turning down five and a half from clubs like Middlesbrough at one stage. He goes for a lot less than that further down the line. So there's different ways of showing it, and Marcus Evans has turned down good money for players in the past. I'm not sitting here defending him. He's made a hell of a lot of mistakes along the way, but I don't think we should overlook some of those things as well, you know. Mark's having a long sip of his drink there.
Someone got a new water bottle for his birthday, didn't he? I mentioned it was my birthday when I was off. Callum Westley, thoughts on Love Island, chaps? Lord Norwood, which I'm very much a fan of as a nickname, Lord of the Goals, Lord Norwood, because he's a Lord, is a big fan. Love Island. Now then, I can think of a few things worse than watching Love Island. And I don't know how you feel about it, Steve. I suspect you share my opinion. You're not someone who strikes me as someone who'd watch Love Island.
No, it's not for me. I have never watched it, though, so maybe I should watch
it.
I get the
principle, the theory behind it is it's basically Big Brother. Back in the day, the whole thing on Big Brother was, are these two people going to get to horizontal hulu-ing and all that sort of stuff, wasn't it? Get to knacking. So now they've basically taken that principle, put a lot of very, very good-looking people on an island where they basically walk around naked all day and encourage them to have sex, essentially, don't they? Isn't that the principle?
Ross, are you a...
Ross, you're a young viewer? Person.
No, I do not watch that.
Yeah, do you or not?
No.
Hutchie said he watched it.
Hutchie watched it for a year, he said, a season.
He said
a season, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I gave it in with both barrels, but he was unabashed. He said it was his guilty pleasure. So I don't know. I certainly can't.
There's a place for trash TV. No judgment here, but it's not for me.
Yeah, not for me either.
Not for me.
Not for me. So it's a no from all three of us. Excellent. Ian says, about time too, Mark. Swanee off and holds when there was news to review. Sorry, Ian. Hutch and Doctor need direction. They really don't. And he says, oh, look at this. Belated happy birthday, buddy. Oh. So thanks for that, Ian. Stu's still waiting. FPL Tractor, in honour of IORadio.uk, when in sport has a good thing been made even better? I'll leave it vague to give you scope. My suggestions, the back pass rule, good shout, and Murad and Tyson signing for Ipswich Town. So when has something already good in sport been made even better? Can we think?
Not VAR.
No. Oh, by the way, did you watch any of the ladies
I
stuff?
I did,
last
yeah.
Night?
Yeah.
Now, you won't be surprised to know, I thought I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Because that kind of stuff makes me interested.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not interested. Obviously, I want to see the Lionesses do well. But when you get players spitting on other players and pushing referees out of the way, and didn't they threaten to walk off as well? And someone tried to break Steph Horton's ankle at the end of the game. I love all that. That's my sort of thing. Apart from, because you're about to accuse me of being a massive hypocrite, which I am, obviously. Apart from in the men's game, I don't know why. If I see that sort of stuff in the men's games, it wind me up. But for me, that made me interested. I wanted to watch that.
So if you watch that as a men's game, you'd be outraged.
Yeah, I'm a massive hypocrite.
Okay, stop banging your phone on the desk.
Sorry,
by the way.
Sorry, my friend.
It's all right.
I was making my point.
It was no, it was great.
It was entertaining.
It was entertaining, wasn't it? Yeah, it was for all the wrong reasons, but it's made me want to keep watching the games. And it's do you know what? I've watched it, and the standard's been a lot better than I probably anticipated as well. It's been good. Yeah, I've enjoyed what little I've seen of it so far, and I'll definitely be watching all the England games from here on in.
Did Brazil win last night?
No, France.
Extra Brazil time. Lost.
Yeah, 2-1.
Some more VAR controversy in that one.
That's a shame.
Henri scored for France. Henri.
Is it his sister or something?
No.
No. I loved Marta. You know, the famous Brazilian player, Marta. You see all the pictures of her doing the rounds on social media with that bright red lipstick, which I'm told is her trademark.
Record goal scorer in World Cups.
Yeah.
Men and women.
Yeah,
so.
She is something special indeed. So, yeah, I actually enjoyed all that argy-bargy last night. The thing that I think found most entertaining is when the player just randomly ran into the referee, just pushed her out of the way. Have you seen that? Unbelievable. So, I don't think we've actually answered FPL Tractor's question there. When something in sport's been made, a good thing been made better? I can't think. But let's come back to that. Leif, which obscure Ipswich player would you most like to interview? I'd love to hear from Amir Carrick again.
Amir Carrick, we can work on that. Hutch has done a series of these for Kings of Anglia magazine where he tracks down, tries to track down sort of obscure people.
He's done some good ones, hasn't he?
The one he's really after is Finidi George. Yeah. And this will become an article in itself.
Finding Finidi,
because this has now been a year-long escapade for him to track down Finidi, in which he's spoken, he'll talk about this a bit more next time, but he's spoken to coaches at various clubs that Finidi's been at recently, and they've passed him on to someone else, and they've passed him on to someone else, and it's been quite the search for him. There's been a couple of times that he's spoken to people in Nigeria, wondered if it was actually going to be Finidi at the end of the phone. Yeah. It wasn't, and it's I think he's ready to admit defeat in this at the moment.
That would be amazing.
But that's
really
yeah.
Good. And also, obviously, he's about 75.
Just to find out his age, essentially, is the whole idea behind it.
Roscoe, who would you like, obscure ex-town players, who you'd like to talk to or would like us to talk to?
Jamie Peters, I think.
Yeah,
because he's just been lost.
Where is he?
Years.
Where
I
was
don't
he?
Know. He just got released and then went on trial at Yeovil, I think, and then that's it.
We'll work on that. Yeah. Danny Haynes is someone that I've really struggled to get hold of. Whenever the Norwich games came around, he'd be someone I'd try and get hold of.
Rumour has it he now works on the London Underground.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure we've ever actually got that stood up. He was in non-league, wasn't he? For
Grey Wanderers, apparently, in London. So
again, we're still trying to get hold of Danny. John Collis. Now that the Boston players are back in the building, do you think we'll start to see a lot of transfer activity, or will the first week or so be spent concentrating on the ones already here?
I don't think the fact that they're training or not plays any part in how busy the transfer window will be, but I think Paul will want to do his business, as all managers say, as early as possible. You want as many of them together for the trip away, for sort of a bonding exercise as much as a fitness exercise. I was looking back at last summer's window and how late a lot of that business was done. obviously there was a knock-on effect with Waghorn and Garner leaving really late, and then Nolan and Nciala and quite a few of the loans came very late in the window, and I think that led to the sort of the catch-up element of the season. So great that Norwood, who is going to be hopefully a key central figure, is in early doors. Hopefully they can get a goalkeeper and another striker sorted out sooner rather than later, and then maybe two or three of the other deals might be a little bit further down the line. We'll wait and see, but not panicking just yet, very early in the window. I think there's still a little bit more they need to do, but there's time.
Tom Block, we'll do one more and then we'll do a Marksby question. Which fixture are you almost looking forward to? I have to say I'm excited for MK away. So this opens to Roscoe, first of all. Which fixture are you most looking forward to?
Oxford United. Away, because they got
oh, the Wham Stadium?
Yeah, no, Kassam.
Oh, sorry. Kassam Stadium. Who's the Wham Stadium?
At Crichton.
No, I'm not looking forward to that one. just, they got an interesting ground, didn't they? It's a three-sided ground, so there's just a car park behind one of the goals, so that'll just be an interesting sight.
That will be weird.
Yeah.
That will be weird.
The last time Ipswich played at a ground that had an open end was at Exeter last season, and that's where that end, and that's where Trevor Chalabar's penalty, I think, hit a digger behind the goal.
That's
and
what
that
he's
was
aiming for, to be fair.
The beginning of the end for Paul Hurst.
Yeah. So which fixture?
Trevor improved massively from there, Paul.
You're going to be travelling, obviously, here, there and everywhere with the team, covering the game. Which fixture are you most looking for?
Kassam is one of them. AFC Wimbledon. Just because of the history of their sort of rebirth and everything. In many ways, the MK Dons fixture doesn't appeal to me for that very reason. Mm.
It's going to be an empty stadium, though, when we play MK Dons as well, because they've got such a big
stadium.
It's going
to be interesting which clubs give Ipswich extra away ticket allocation. I think your league rules say you have to get 10% of capacity, but I think there'll be, demand will outstrip that in certain places, and some clubs may want to cash in and sell a few more away tickets. So I think there'll be some those sort of games, I think, where Ipswich are going to take a huge away following of a couple of thousand to different places in small, tight grounds. I think they're the ones that I'm probably looking forward to, actually.
I'm looking forward to two. Sunderland at home, just because that's going to be a massive game. And my second one, probably more, I'm looking forward to Tranmere away, January the 18th, because that's the day that Hutchie's going to get legged, as we know. So we're still not entirely sure what getting legged means. I have to assume that it's not a good thing. So we'll be looking for extra security detail. If any of you want to volunteer to serve as Hutchie's muscle on that day, because there's an angry Tranmere fan looking for it. So, yeah, January the 19th, that's the one I'm looking forward to. Will Hutchie come back with both his legs? Fingers crossed. Let's do Mark's big question now. Roscoe? That's right. Spring into action.
Boom.
Big question.
I don't know if that picked up on the mic, but that was the best producer on earth, Ross, headbutting the mic again.
Get in the way.
Exceptional. It's a learning curve. I always like listening to that when Hutchie isn't here, because it's like he's with us still. Yep. Hutchie's little voice. Dr. Steve, give us a number between 1 and 53. And obviously, money is
15.
15. This is a good one. Most famous person you've ever met. Now, I'd imagine in your line of work, that's going to be football related. You might surprise me.
Probably, yeah.
Can you think of the most famous person you've ever met?
Would be? Who's yours?
Mine would be probably back from when I was a news journalist for many years. I interviewed a few people who were famous. Sir David Frost, I interviewed. He was good value. I think I've mentioned before, he clearly liked a cigar, smelt very much of cigar smoke, but obviously a very, very interesting guy. Famously interviewed President Nixon. Jasper Conran I interviewed. He's the poshest man I've ever met, with the best teeth also I've ever met. And as I interviewed him, I got posher and posher. To my great shame, I was a young pup journalist, and I believe I sat down and this guy was sort of sitting across from me, immaculate, absolutely immaculate as expect, Jasper Conran. And I think my first question was, Mr. Conran, where did you school?
Where did you school?
He was getting an honorary degree at the University of Suffolk. And so I had obviously gone there to do the classic What do you think of Suffolk, Jasper? As all local journalists do,
yeah.
As part of their coming up through the ranks, as it were. I don't know, in terms of most famous, I met the guy who played Darth Maul, interviewed him. He was a good guy.
Isn't the guy from Rainbow a resident?
Yeah, he lives in my village, as does the guy who played Pike.
In Dad's Army.
Dad's Army. He's a local celebrity.
That's cool.
Around my way.
I saw, not Trigger, the other guy in Only Fools and Horses. I saw him in an HMV once.
The other guy? Who do you mean?
Boise.
David Jason?
No.
Rodney?
I can't remember his name now. No, he's like Trigger's mate.
Denzel.
Denzel.
Yeah, ah,
Denzel, yeah. There we go. Yeah. Denzel. I saw him in an HMV in Chelmsford once.
Yeah. The most famous person you've met, of course, would probably be Liam Gallagher, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
In the golf, I mean, that's a pretty good one.
In American Golf, yeah. Sold him some golf clubs.
You've told that story before, but basically at the height of Oasis's fame, Liam Gallagher swaggered into, what was it, American Golf in Braintree?
Yeah, Freeport.
As you would. Did he buy anything?
I can't remember.
You can't remember?
He had a little go on. They have the laser driving bay things where they sort of show you where your ball's gone. I think he had a little bit of a whack in there a few times. Swaggered out again.
I'll tell you who else I interviewed as well. You'll like this, Ross, as a fan of the wrestling. I interviewed Jake the Snake Roberts back in the day. Very nice man. Excellent documentary on Netflix.
That's brilliant, yeah.
Have you watched that, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake?
I have, yes, on your recommendation.
Really, really good. He was an incredibly nice man. He called me brother every single other word. It was like brother. Yeah, brother.
What's that for then?
He was. It was when he was on the indie circuit and he was wrestling in the area. You know, he's doing one of these tours of the country. Yeah. And he was. That was when I think he was in a bad place, wasn't it? He was.
Yeah,
he struggled for a while, but he was a really, really nice guy. What about you, Roscoe? You must have met some up and coming famous musicians.
Well, I've met Ed Sheeran, but I'm not a fan of his music, so it doesn't really.
You've met there. Ed Sheeran?
Yeah, that's when he was, you know, very
back in the day. He's telling me think his music.
Where was he playing?
Swan.
Is that the famous gig where he took the gig outside afterwards?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, I should say this now, I've been thinking about trying to get Ed Sheeran on this podcast in the run-up to his Chantry Park gigs, because obviously he's a Town fan.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure he probably listens to the pod. And we've actually, back in my old news days, we followed Ed Sheeran a lot back then. In fact, I can remember us doing the story when he signed his first record deal. We went to a pub in Framlingham. It seems crazy now, he's like the richest pop star in the world. And we did, I remember the picture, and John Barnes went to interview him, and it was literally Ed Sheeran just sitting in this pub in Framlingham, no one else around, signing a record deal. And obviously now he's done all right for himself, the lad, hasn't he? Plus, I reckon he could sort us out a jingle. Yeah.
If you're listening, Ed. I don't think he is.
I reckon he is.
A friend of a friend is probably listening to it. Yeah.
So Ed Sheeran's pretty cool. I mean, again, so Ed Sheeran, Liam Gallagher, I can't really compete with that, despite the fact I'm meant to be the one with the news background interviewing famous people. Anyway, let's move on.
That was before he was famous, of course.
Who?
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, but he still counts.
I always used to see the boys from Prodigy knocking about growing up in Braintree as
Of course,
they'd all be going around in their cars with their music blaring.
Keith Flint and that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Favourite Prodigy song?
Ooh, Diesel Power.
Yes, good choice.
Breathe.
Good choice. Oscar, are you a Prodigy man? Bet you're not.
Not really, but, you know, none of them.
Good.
Great chap.
Let me just...
One more time.
Let me just... there was almost a disaster then. I managed to actually delete the list of podcast questions while I was talking. You would have seen my face go. But I think I've restored them. So, there we go. Nice little interlude. Let's get back onto a mailbag. Where are we? Oh, the pin.
Friend of the show. Number
two. I think he's number two. I just realised we never did the mailbag jingle, did we? Start of mailbag.
Touchy's in it.
We'll have to at the end. I fear a season of struggle, but I hope not. Holy needs time to get used to defence and vice versa, and we need a new plan to get the best out of Lord Norwood. Fullbacks need to develop on-field relationships with wide midfielders. I can't name you our starting wide men. I'm panicking, he says. And he goes on to say, you can calm me down by giving me your recommendations for things to watch on Netflix. to which I've just subscribed after winning an argument with the Trouble and Strife. So is Pin right to be panicking, first of all?
Don't panic, Pin.
Don't panic, Pin. Recommendations for Netflix. Well, the aforementioned Jake the Snake documentary, fantastic. Also just watched When They See Us. Are you familiar with this?
No. Nope.
It's a four-part miniseries about the Central Park Five, the famous case in America where five young black lads got convicted of rape, basically because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time and they were black and they were framed. That's really, really good. There's a really good documentary on Netflix as well, which I think is just called Central Park Five. Narcos as well is on Netflix. Yeah. That's brilliant. Yeah. That's outstanding. Lots of good stuff. Any other ones to throw in? The Katie Taylor documentary.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Also on Netflix.
Haven't seen that.
Not seen that. Anything else to throw into the pot for the Pin?
Depends what he wants, really. If he wants something to binge watch quickly or just a documentary or...
Chuck out a couple of things that you've enjoyed on Netflix.
If you're into sort of the mind-bending, thinky-type films, there's a film called Primer, independent film, quite short. It's only just over an hour. That's about sort of like time travel and stuff like
that.
I like stuff like that.
You do. Roscoe, what are you saying?
Oh, I can't think of something. I don't want to go too mainstream, but, you know, Stranger Things, if you haven't watched that, that's really good. That's new season's coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Air.
I think there's also a kind of mini documentary series called Losers, which I think I've mentioned before. That's really good. Oh,
sorry.
So he's just fondling his mic.
Yeah, I watched that off the back of you saying about it. I thought John van der Velde and
really interesting.
Torquay.
Yeah, that
United
was really good.
Was a good one.
How they got
it?
Saved by the dog biting one of the players. Mm. Amazing. They're only about half an hour long, so they're really good to sit down and watch if you've only got a short amount of time. Nigel Gooding wants to know: should Norwood be a lone striker? Or with one just behind or alongside him, and who should that be?
That's where he played for Tranmere.
Yeah,
they were sort of a 4-2-3-1, so it was him with three proper attack-minded players in behind. So I'd like to see that. I think I know people have talked about the diamond being Winnips, which maybe played some of their best stuff under Lambert with, you know, Judge through the middle. I definitely want to see Judge through the middle. So I'd like to see Norwood with Judge just in behind. I'm not sure the fullbacks are good enough for a diamond system. I think if you're playing diamond, your fullbacks need to be shit hot. And I'm not convinced the fullback options they've got at this moment in time are quite at that standard at the moment. So in order to help Kenlock and possibly Emmanuel develop, I'd go with 4-2-3-1. Because, you know, there's some decent wingers there in there as well with Lancaster and Edwards. And if you play a diamond, where do they fit into it? So that's what I'd like to see.
He goes on to ask, with the trend to do cup draws in supermarket car parks, what alternative venues should be used for the FA Cup draw this year? I'm thinking using OK Diner on the A1.
Well, that would be the obvious choice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Going back to this live pod idea, why not do the FA Cup draw live on the RTFC Kings of Anglia podcast? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Then we could go straight on to Bucking Bronco riding and...
The FA Cup draw. They'll just give us the rights to
not?
Do it?
We're massive. We are massive.
Well, I mean, to be honest, the FA Cup, we might be struggling, but Carabao, they seem to... If we come up with enough bunts, they'd probably let us do it.
We're paying cash. He also wants to know, in Game of Thrones, each house has a motto, e.g. winter is coming. Was that a motto of a house?
It's, Starks.
Oh, is it? Should each football team have a motto? And in that case, what would Ipswich Town's motto be? It can only get better. Things can only get better, D-Ream. Yeah, that's what I'd say.
That was the... wasn't that the sort of Tony Blair New Labour
theme? That's what I'm saying, that's what
theme.
It was. D-Ream,
97.
Yeah, 97, things can only get better.
Yeah.
Ollie Feingold. Hello, Ollie. I get the impression that Bart's transfer to Millwall has been stalled so we can get another keeper in before he departs. Could this possibly be the case?
No, I don't think so. I think Bart's exit was always going to happen, probably as soon as the season ended, to be honest. So they've got plenty of other targets in mind. I think Remy Matthews at Bolton is quite high on that list, but they're looking at others as well. Matt Ingram, a few others. So, Bart's departure should be announced fairly soon.
Any update, Ross?
No.
No update. Arthur Pickthorne. King Arthur, as I like to call him. Could Danasian double up as the fifth centre-back that Stu and Andy talked about in the last pod? His versatility could be an asset, and maybe Cotter could come into contention at right-back.
I think Danasian can act as a backup across all three positions. Lambert is adamant that he's a centre-back based on the short time they worked together at Aston Villa. He was bought to Ipswich as a right-back by Paul Hurst, and I thought he did okay in the start of last season against clubs like Villa and Derby. And left-back is the position that he's played most of his football for Accrington. It's where he was a League Two winner at left-back. It's where he's played on loan in League One back end of last season. And at the moment, that's probably the position they need him the most, because really you've only got Kenlock there at the moment. So our understanding is he'll get given the chance to go for that right-back slot alongside Emmanuel.
I hope Genoid does it this season, because I really like his name. And he's from St.
Can Ross, say his name in full, please?
Genoid Donation.
Donation. It's probably the right way to say it. Donation. Gareth Westley, do you chaps think the double is doable? Division 1 champs, League 1 champs, and Checker Trade Trophy winners. It's got to be the target, hasn't it? The double. The illustrious double. Or why not go for the treble with the Carabao as well?
Yeah, why not?
Of course it's doable. Fingers crossed.
Listen, if Shrewsbury could finish third and get to the final of the Checker Trade not so long ago, then
absolutely,
that puts it into a bit of context. They weren't too far away from that. Yeah. So
Sunderland got to the playoff final and the Checker Trade final, was it? No. Yeah. Gareth also asked, do you think our current team would beat the England ladies?
There's a question. Yes, I'd be inclined to say yes.
I would say yes. But it'd be an interesting game. Jack Slader.
Friend of the show.
Number three, I think, or four.
Number three.
Or four. Or maybe five.
Who's number one?
Who's number one?
Yeah.
DJ.
Ah.
D. Jones Jax.
Ah.
Daryl
Jones. Of course.
The big dog. Sorry, the only DJ. Friend of the show who's ever actually been on the show.
Whose name you got wrong.
Yeah. Daryl Jackson. Yeah. A big fan of his work. Jack Slader wants to know, I'm going to the zoo today, so on that theme, if you were an animal, what animal would you be? And also, what animal is Lambo? Now, Lambo would be something fighty. I think, I'll tell you what Lambo would be. He'd be a honey badger.
A honey badger?
have you ever seen the honey badger video?
No.
Oh, you've got to watch it.
So they get a bit aggro.
Honey badgers don't give a fuck. That's basically, that is the line for honey badgers. They'll literally attack anything.
Where do they live? Are they native to our...
They're not from these parts, no. They're sort of in hotter climes. But this video basically shows them attacking lions. And they are mean, bad-tempered little things. You don't want to rile a honey badger because, as I say, they don't give a... And I fancy Lambo's a bit like a honey badger.
Yeah.
He refuses to be intimidated by anything or anyone.
When he was at Carrow Road, did he engage full honey badger mode?
Yeah, I think
when he was like being held back by a copper and stuff?
And also when and there was a presser afterwards, wasn't there? And he said, tell him to give me a call. That was him going into honey badger mode. So if you were an animal,
That's a great shout.
But if you were an animal, what would you be?
I don't know. What do you think I'd be?
Good question. What would Stu be? Something quite thoughtful and analytical.
An owl.
Yeah, an owl. That's a good shout, man. That's a good shout. An owl. Very wise.
I like birds of prey.
Yeah.
On my holiday recently, I held an owl.
Did you?
That was probably the best part of my holiday. Yeah.
What sort of owl was it?
I don't know. An owl.
Oh, come on.
They had all different types. A small owl.
Wasn't a barn owl, I assume.
No, it wasn't a barn owl.
It was probably a tawny owl, was it?
Probably.
Was it brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tawny owl, I reckon. Did it turn its head 360?
I had a white one as well.
That's a barn owl.
Is it?
Also,
how many owls are there?
There's loads of owls.
Loads of
friend.
Owls.
Have you ever seen an eagle owl?
No.
Eagle owls are big ass owls.
Yeah.
If you're trying to scare yourself, Google eagle owl claw.
Okay.
Because, in fact, Ross can do that. We're on. It's a bit like the Joe Rogan podcast this now. Now we're online as well. Ross can bring up YouTube videos. Ross, what animal would you be?
Sloth.
Yeah.
That's pretty accurate, yeah. You got a claw there, Ross, we can see. This is great for radio, of course. Oh, that's not right.
Loads of owls.
Yeah.
It's just literally looking just through Google images of owls.
Just
at the
leave
moment.
That up so the next person in the studio thinks, what the hell are they doing in here?
Can we get owls on the live show? Do you think like an owl sanctuary would,
well,
would bring them
there's,
in?
There's an owl sanctuary down the road, isn't there? Stonham Barns.
Yeah.
Stonham and Owl Sanctuary place.
It's good. It's a good owl sanctuary.
So far we've got Bucking Bronco, we've got Sack Back and Crack, we've got FA Cup draw.
We're not doing the FA Cup
draw. Ed Sheeran.
We're not getting on the live. Ed
Sheeran. That's confirmed now. Ed Sheeran on the live podcast. So we will charge an entry fee. Ross won't be here though.
Maybe we could get an Ed Sheeran lookalike instead.
Yeah. And also now owls as well. So lots to look forward to on the live show. Adrian Hawes, our defence was woeful last year.
What are you, animal?
Good point.
What animal would I be? I don't know, really, to be honest.
Something that...
fighty.
Something fighty, but also something that likes to sort of use its plumage and its colours to attract a mate.
What are you saying?
Oh, it's my birthday, everyone. Look at me.
Peacock. So I'd basically be a peacock.
Yeah. But something a bit fighty. Peacocks can be quite fighty, can't they?
Yeah.
Well, what's that? If they've got a big bum.
A big bum.
Like, what are they called?
Ostrich.
An ostrich.
You think I'm an ostrich?
Yeah.
I've got a pretty long neck, to be fair. I'm not sure about ostrich, though.
He's just done a Nigel Pearson on you.
He has. He's mugged me. Oh, yeah. There we go. I do look like an ostrich, now you point it out.
You think your gaffer's got his head in the sand?
Unbelievable scenes. Incredible.
Great career move there, right?
Very interesting way of penning your resignation. Adrian Hawes says, without new signings, have we really got a promotion-chasing defence? Could you see us being able to grind out a 1-0 win away from home on a cold February night?
That's a good point. Conceded a lot of goals last year. Just looking at Google images of ostriches over there. I'll carry on.
Yeah.
Chambers and Ntiala, to me, are a durable central defensive duo that should be more than good enough for League One. Ntiala's proven it already. Chambers got his limitations, getting on a little bit in age, but again, I think he should be good enough for League One. The bigger question mark comes around the fullbacks around them at the moment that may need a little bit of time and a little bit of help. But it's a valid question, and we shall see.
Barney Booth asked something we've not mentioned thus far. If Clark, Mings, Moore and Webster all move this summer, could any of that cash go into the transfer budget? Of course, Matt Clark moved to Brighton last week.
Yep.
And Town are going to get, what are you saying, about 800k?
Roughly, yeah.
Very nice. So, A, is that any of that cash likely to go into the transfer budget? Unlikely.
I don't think any of that money would go directly into a transfer war chest. Mm. Marcus Evans doesn't just slide it across the desk and say,
here you go,
Paul, go and spend it up. But
I love the idea of them being a war chest somewhere at Portman Road.
I mean, these sort of things come in instalments, and it's a bit more complicated rather than just suddenly getting a big chunk of money. But it will create a bit of latitude and leeway, might just open a few doors for deals that might have just been out of their reach before, might just be able to sort of bring a couple of extra things into play. But I don't think it's suddenly going to just be like, go and spend it all.
So do we know if there's sell-ons in things like Mings and Webster and that sort of stuff? Are there sell-on clauses in there? Do we know?
Still looking into that. Yeah. I can't remember what we reported on Mings at the time, but there almost certainly will be in Tyrone Mings. It's pretty much par for the course now that when you sell a player of a certain age, that gets included. There's an ostrich opening its mouth.
I'm going to film this. So this is...
It's you.
While you're looking at ostriches...
Yeah, this is what Ross thinks I look like.
Doesn't work great on radio, does
there's
it?
There's the owl. It's all right, you can watch this back. There you go. Wise old owl. Can't quite do the 360. Anyway, back to mailbag. James Gulk says, I'm towards the end of been watching All or Nothing, only the NFL ones. This is Amazon Prime series, which are basically things that follow sports teams, especially NFL teams over the course of
the season. Just started watching the Man City one, actually.
I much preferred the Sunderland documentary to the Man City All or Nothing, because there weren't really many characters in Man City, apart from the kit man. He's good. Do you agree this season is all or nothing for Town? Atta baby, let's go. And yeah, I mean, you said last week on the pod, Stewie, that they've got to be top six minimum.
I think so. In terms of where it's all or nothing, in terms of promotion, I definitely think if you miss out in the first year, it becomes increasingly harder. We've seen that with clubs like Sheffield United, 6 years down there. I was chatting to Phil Hay, the Leeds reporter, about their time in League One, and you know, there was a sense that the longer that went on, that crikey, we're going to get stuck here forever. And in the end, I think they scraped their way back up via the playoffs. So it's a big first year. More often than not, I think the budget is getting... The money in football is meaning that the gap between the Championship and League One is getting quite big, and that you're seeing teams bounce back quickly more often than not now. But if you miss that first window, and you have to start paring things back a little bit financially, it gets harder and harder. So there is an argument for that.
Jamie Carpenter says, slightly excited about the coming season for Ipswich, but I still don't think it compares to when you're a kid and you find a foil badge sticker in your Panini Mexico 86 sticker pack.
Nothing beats
that. That was the nuts, wasn't it? When you got a foil sticker.
It's a shiny.
You're telling me you've never collected stickers?
Yeah, of course, but not.
You didn't like shiny stickers?
Of course I like shiny stickers, but...
But not as
They're exciting. Called shinies.
Yeah.
Shinies, sorry. Yeah. Andy Mook says, Marmite or Vegemite? I've never had either.
I don't think I've had Vegemite.
Marmite's just salt, isn't it, basically?
I like Marmite.
Is it?
It's quite salty, yeah. And beefy. Is it beefy? That's Bovril.
And Ian Botham. Yeah. Bovril. And in fact, on the very interesting game that you played at the end of last week's show, Hutchie said there's one stadium in League One which doesn't serve Bovril but serves a beefy alternative. Is that right?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Beef tea, I believe he called it.
Yeah.
That sounds foul. We've come to the end of Mailbag. It's been an extended, long version today. Still can't believe you think I look an ostrich, Ross. Harsh. So before we take our leave and head back to the office and do some work, which we should probably do at some point, there is one more thing I wanted to mention, and that's I was trying to stay away from my phone last week because I have a real bad habit, as Stu's pointed out oftentimes in the office, of being permanently attached to it. And in fact, let me use this as open counselling session. On the new iPhones, you can get the amount of times you pick your phone up a day.
Screen time,
and the amount of times you pick your phone up. I average pickups, 150 a day.
That's not good.
Which is not good, is it? And we looked at yours, and yours was something like 37, wasn't it? Which is very, very low.
Let's have a look now.
Obviously, today you've hardly touched it, I'd imagine. Stewie doesn't have notifications on Twitter because obviously he's so massive that otherwise his phone would be going off constantly. So if you ever at Stuart Watson, he doesn't even see it, probably, because he's big time.
Screen time. Where do you find that?
In settings, my friend.
Anyway, you carry on.
So I have an issue with the phone, is what I'm trying to say. Roscoe, you haven't got an iPhone, have you? So we can't.
I do.
Oh, you do?
That's Hutch, who's got an Android, hasn't he?
Nah. Yeah. So, but you've left yours in the
office.
I've left
mine in the office, so I actually can't.
Classic Ross.
An hour and a half, I haven't touched my phone, so yeah. Not too bad.
You're doing all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so on holiday, I was trying to deliberately try and stay away from my phone, but on one of the days, and I can't remember which day it was, I got tagged into a few things about Aaron Drinan possibly leaving. Is he leaving? What's going on? I need to know.
I need to find out some more, my friend. I don't want to unnecessarily upset you before I have any kind of concrete information.
Some death info.
But if we're talking about potential further exits, he would be on a list of those that I could see following out the door. I hate to break it to you.
Such a shame.
Do you think Aaron Drinan is aware? Because you are now, people are tagging you and him in stuff.
He must
and let's
weird.
Be honest, he's not a man who's probably getting
lots of
interaction. So I wonder if he's aware of your strange sort of love affair and how he feels about it, because he's never acknowledged or replied to it.
I hope he appreciates that I'm his biggest fan and I'm kind of his cheerleader, and I think he should start up front next season.
In front of Norwood?
Absolutely.
All right.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, if Aaron doesn't go, Adrizzi doesn't depart, I could take him out for Nando's. We get him on Podcast Live, couldn't we?
Yeah.
He'd be outstanding for Podcast Live. Good crack and all that. Not the sort of crack that we're talking about. Getting waxed.
C-R-A-O. I see.
Good crake. crack. I can't do accents. So you're saying there's a chance. He's not left yet.
I'm saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. That's all I need, baby. before we make exit, is there anything else to discuss that I've not covered? Stuart Watson?
No other business.
No other business. Roscoe?
No other business.
What illness are you fighting this week, by the way? Malaise.
Hunger again. Hunger again.
You're going to be fighting a broken nose after this, comparing me to an ostrich. Hopefully you've enjoyed today's podcast. It's good to be back. I've really enjoyed being with the boys again, having a laugh. Do please subscribe on your various podcast providers. Get this into your inbox every week, this nonsense that we do. And also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because it helps in our ego very much, particularly my ego. It also helps with our visibility. So we will now head off from IO Radio, get back to the office, and we'll talk to you again next week.